I'd just like to say how much of a blessing it is to be here. It's been a while since I've got to come and preach here at Mount Lebanon. And it's like anything else. If it's been a while and you haven't done it, you kind of start second-guessing yourself and things like that. But, I'm just reminded constantly that it's not me anyway. It's the Lord. And when Preacher Wynn asked me if I would be able to do this tonight, I was glad that everything worked out that I could, and I just began praying, Lord, if you don't send something, I'm not just going to get up and just do anything. Lord, I want you to send something, and if you don't, we'll just pray, we'll sing, we'll do however the service leads, and we'll go home. If we're not careful, we can take things for granted and think we can just kind of do something. At the time when he asked me, I didn't know exactly. I've been thinking about different things and, studying here and there, just little bits and pieces of different things, but nothing as a whole. And as I continued to pray, the Lord just really started showing me different things, but then everything just seemed to come in view and kind of pinpoint down to this scripture here. So if you will tonight, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter number 33. Ezekiel 33. And this here, I think some have probably read through this before, and I guess it's not this semester. I think they're covering the poetical books this semester down at VBC, but I believe it's going to be next semester. They're actually going to be covering the major and minor prophets, and I think you'll get to see a little bit of some of this here. And again, there's a lot going on that semester, and it goes by very quick, so the sooner you can start reading on those things, the better, because it does come and go pretty quick. That's one of the things I never realized how fast that school would go by. 3 years is, I guess, in some ways a lengthy amount of time, but that can go by very quick. So just get in there and hang in there and hold on to it. Don't get discouraged. I know there's a lot of reading that goes on, but just get in there and hang on to it. This here, if I was going to give it a title, it's quite simply The Watchman. The Watchman, that's what they're talking about here in Ezekiel. I'm going to give out a few things, and then we'll go into the reading. I just want to give some historical background about what's going on with Ezekiel. It's always good to do that, to give us an idea of exactly what we're talking about. Brother Finley and I talked before about how important it is to keep context right. If you get your context off, then your doctrine and different things just go all out of whack. And it's important that you keep things straightened out the way that they should be. So just a brief introduction here to the book of Ezekiel as a whole. Ezekiel was appointed as a watchman unto Israel. So you can see here it's important to realize that he's not talking to the church. He's talking to Israel. This is Ezekiel is a watchman unto Israel. Ezekiel means God strengthens. God strengthens. That's what his name means. If you think about a watchman and one of the things that a watchman should have, he would need the strength of God. There's a lot of things when you're talking about an entire nation. Without God, there's not going to be any way that things will be done right. And I think we can look around today and see evidence of that. And he is a prophet. He spent his early years in Jerusalem until he was taken with other hostages by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon in 597 B.C. And that's a date that you'll hear a lot about in school. But he was taken with him into captivity. And he prophesied for at least 22 years. I read different things, and some say at least 20, around 20 years. So as a watchman or as a prophet, he would be considered a veteran. Somebody that wasn't just placed into it, but somebody that's been around for a while. Somebody that's experienced some things, and he knows what's going on. He's not on the outside looking in. He's on the inside, and he knows what's going on with his country and the times. Ezekiel's ministry to the exiles in Babylon was at the same time of that of Jeremiah was to the Jews in Palestine and also in the early years of Daniel. So to give you a little bit of time, so you can go back and you can kind of read some in Daniel. You can read some in Jeremiah, and you can kind of see what's going on to complete the picture. And we're not going into all that tonight, just some brief things I just want to point out. But also the content. What's the book of Ezekiel about as a whole? Ezekiel's ministry was to keep before the exiles the sins that had brought God's judgment on them and to assure them of God's future blessing in keeping with his covenant. So he was set up before them as a watchman to explain to them that God's judgment is coming. They were placed in exile. For the things that they had done, they were placed into captivity and taken into captivity because they did not follow God. They didn't do what they were told to do as a nation. And they were placed in captivity for that. And if you keep reading and continue, you see that it doesn't end there. Israel is looking one day to come together as a nation and again be saved as a nation. And there again, that's a whole other message and a whole other thing. And the chapters 1 through 24, 1 through 24 is written before the fall of Jerusalem and God's judgment there. And then chapter 33 through 48, that's the prophecies of future restoration of Israel in the millennial kingdom. There again, that's going way on to the future. Right here, give you a brief outline. Ezekiel's call and commissioning, you'll find that chapter 1 through chapter 3. And then number 2, the prophecies against Judah and Jerusalem, you'll find that in chapters 4 through 24. Number 3, the prophecies against foreign nations, that's 25 through 32. Number 4, prophecies of Israel's restoration, chapter 33 chapter 39. And also here, number 5, prophecies concerning Israel in the millennial kingdom. And that's 40 through 48. So you kind of see that there's a lot of prophecy that's going on in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm not going into all that. I don't understand, and I've not taken the time to study through all those things. There's many, many different things there. But tonight, I just want to give you a brief outline of what was going on about the book of Ezekiel to kind of set the context, to set the time frame, to let you know what has taken place. But tonight, I want to talk about the watchman. Let's read verses 1 through 3 here. It says, there again, chapter 33, it says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." The first thing that I took notice of it here, it just didn't say, "Son of man, speak to the people." It said, "Speak to the children of thy people, the young people." When I was thinking about that and saw that, I started thinking about the young people in our church. You know, we do have a lot of young Christians in our church. You know, the baptism that we had just recently, that I think that was 3 from our church. There's a lot of young people in our church. Again, it makes me think about our Bible school that we just had. That's been on my heart. And on up to the ministry that we've got with Brother Kyle and the ministry that we have with Brother Bill, the young people. And that's what he's saying to here to this watchman. He's saying, "Speak to the children of thy people." And he gives them the warning. It says, "And saying to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." It's pretty simple what he's given to do. This is not a lot of hard scripture to understand. Judgment is coming, and God says, set up for you a watchman. So when judgment comes, he can warn the people. That's pretty straightforward and easy to understand there. And when I was looking at it and think about some things I've got written down here, I think it's so important that we outline these things with our young people. One of the things I've been very thankful for and looking at is when Josh just got out of school, we've been able to spend a whole lot of time together. The message that Preacher Wynn preached Sunday, that really, really enforced and encouraged me. Because I was talking to Brandy, one of the things I want to do with Josh is take him out and go camping. And I told Brandy, I said, he don't even know how to start a fire, which I guess in some ways is a good thing. But, you know, there's some things that we need to know how to do. You know, and when I was looking at this here and I was thinking about it, and, you know, again, this is a passage of Scripture that I've really wanted to study and preach on, and especially after getting back into law enforcement. And I'll be 100% honest with you. I'm probably more surprised than anybody here that that's the way things turned out to be. I talked to Brother James, I talked to different people. You know, I did not see myself necessarily getting back into law enforcement. I don't have an explanation for that. I guess in my mind, I thought I'd probably become a pastor or do some things along those lines. But, you know, God's in control. And just like Preacher Wynn said when he was talking about, I guess it was missions he was preaching on. He said, talking about the Lord, he said, he's the general and I'm the private. And that's just how it works. You know, the Lord has plans and different things for us. And I think it's so important that we seek those things out. Another thing I was thinking of along these lines, and I'm the type of person who like to try to figure things out. And if you was to talk to Joseph and say, okay, in X amount of years, you're going to be in the palace and you're going to be the second right underneath the king. I can just about guarantee you the first thing that come to his mind was, I need to go find a pit. That probably wasn't in, it was not in his plans. Man has a way and they think about things, you know, he'd probably start trying to politic a little bit or something, or try to get in good with some of these other people to try to work his way to the top. But you see, that wasn't the way God chose to get him there. God has ways that we don't understand. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And tonight we're talking about the watchman. Talking about the watchman, verses 4 through 5. It says, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. You know, that was one of the things that's hard for us to understand. As a preacher, as a father, as a missionary, as someone working with the young people, it is so frustrating to try to talk to somebody and them not listen to you. One of the things in an interview I had, I was asked, what makes you mad? And I didn't have a good response right off the bat, but I started thinking about it a little bit. And I said, one of the things, I said, I don't know if it's so much it makes me mad, but it frustrates me is, to know what would be good for somebody and try to explain it to them, say, this is what you need to do, and then turn around and not do it. That is so frustrating in dealing with kids and young kids, and even at, the college age, you know, they got different things on their mind, different plans and different ways of seeing things. And you'd say, no, you're going down the wrong path. I can see it. I've been in certain circumstances before. I see you're heading down those same, maybe the same paths. You don't want to go that way. And they go that way anyway. That's so hard. That's so frustrating. As a parent, I know my son is young. He's not yet reached that age. But as they grow and as they mature, they start getting their own ideas. They start getting different ideas about things. But, you know, this here, when I see this scripture, it refers to so many different things. As a father, it tells me if I bring up Josh the way he should go, later on he will not depart from it. There's things here, there's only so much we can do as parents. There's only so much we can do as a preacher, as a friend, as a Christian. There's only so much that we can do. We're so limited into what we can do. But we still have to warn. We still have to blow the trumpet and say, hey, you're going down the wrong path, and this is why. I'll show you in God's Word, well, that's not going to work. And then it's up to them. That's hard. I've got friends and family that you can talk to. They'll agree with you. They'll finish the Scripture before you get done reading it. And then they seemingly go the other way. I can't explain that. I can't explain that. It's frustrating, but God's in control. Our responsibility is to tell them. That's verses 4 through 5, that's a good watchman. That's a good watchman. Verse number 6 here. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. You know, there's some people that don't like to cause waves. You know, some people that just don't like confrontation. I think before about different things when I trying to witness to people or try to talk to people who sometimes think they know more than you, and maybe they do. I'm not going to argue that point. But it's so hard when you try to talk to somebody and them just not listen, them deny what you're saying. But if you're not careful, you get to a place that you just say, well, I'm just going to quit. I'm just not going to tell them. I see they're heading down the wrong path, and I'll just sit back, and when it happens, then I'll just laugh at them. That's not what we are to do. That's not what our responsibilities are. You know, when you try to talk to people, it's easy to get frustrated, but we still got a responsibility to pray for them. There's so many people. That's all I can do. I've come to that conclusion. That's all I can do. A bad watchman does not stand up and blow the trumpet and warn the people. And there again, this is obvious. This is obvious. But are you blowing the trumpet and are you warning people? That's something I have to ask myself. You know, going back to working things, people knew. People know that I'm a preacher before I even got there. People know that. That's something that's not a secret. And, you know, going back into it, is it going to be one of those situations, well, I just don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. I don't want people to stereotype me. I don't want people to just think they've got me figured out before they hear what I say. See, it's easy to put yourself back in a little shell if you're not careful. That's what's expected. You know, that's the way things are with all the different laws and the way things are coming out. You don't want people to think you're an extremist. I've been kind of studying a lot of things like that. People, not everybody that's categorized in a certain way is the same as each other. You know, when you see people, there's some people I've seen that come on campus and they've preached on campus. And basically what they've done is try to come out and pick a fight with the students. That's exactly what they've done. I've heard them. And they try to twist things around and try to contort things to get the students all in an uproar. You see, and that's setting it up bad for the next person that tries to come in and actually really wants to present the Word of God to them. That's hard. There's a fellow, he comes, I think, maybe on a yearly basis, and he tries to debate. I've listened to different radio programs and things that where the people try to do that. You can't win with a group like that. There's no use trying. They're going to have an answer, even if they just make it up. But they try to make it harder, and it does make it harder. The bad watchmen, they make it harder for everybody. Verse number 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and shall warn them from me. This is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. This is his calling. This is his appointment to be a watchman. And when I was thinking about this here, it reminds me of being called to preach. That's the first and foremost, the absolute most important. Also, it reminds me of being a law enforcement officer, being a watchman, so to speak. It kind of, I have a different perspective maybe than some based on these things. We have some here tonight that's been in the military. They've seen things, they've experienced things from a different light than most people, just based on the things that they've done. And this here is to warn the people of the wrath to come. Verse number 8, it says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. There again, that's a bad watchman. I've got good and bad, that's a bad watchman. Verse number 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way, to turn from it, he doth not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We still have a duty to act. That's one of the things. We just had some training here recently. Once you learn a certain amount of things that you do when you respond, you have a duty to act. When I think about the experience that we have, or the experience that I have just going through school, it makes me think about the children of Ephraim. When Preacher Wynn was talking about them, they're armed and carrying, they had gotten to the point where they could really maybe do something. They had everything that they needed, but when it come right down to the time to do it, they decided not to. You know, in thinking about things, I got a few different things that I want to cover here, but along those lines, I was just thinking about how easy it is for us to kind of fall back maybe a little bit. You know, we just come out of Bible school, and I tell you what, I was tired. I didn't teach. I was just there. I come to listen, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I worked that week and come in and back and forth and back and forth, and I was extremely tired after that. And like we're saying, you know, that's a well-earned time to take some rest after that. But if we're not careful, we can fall back into just letting some bad habits come into play. There's just a few things that I just want to cover here and talk about a good watchman and a bad watchman. A good watchman is not a spectator. A good watchman is not one that you're going to find just standing around somewhere. I was thinking about this. One of the biggest examples I've got of this is working the football games. You've got tons of people there. You're probably in the neighborhood of 30 to 35,000 people that come to watch this game. They're here to see everything that's going on. And I remember the different times that I've worked it. Sometimes I would look back to see what was going on in the field, but my job and my responsibility was to stand there and watch the people, face the people, and see what was going on there. You know, a lot of times it's for their own good, because a lot of drink and a lot of things go on there. I mean, we're there by necessity, not just by might be a good idea. We have to be there. And a good watchman keeps up with what's going on, or he might get hurt. You turn your back on a crowd like that, you could get hurt pretty easy. But that's the responsibility. You know, you could get caught up in watching what they're watching. You could get caught up in the show, so to speak. But that's not what a good watchman does. He watches the people. He keeps his eye on them. You know, when I think about this, it's not just for your own safety, but it's for their safety. It's for their betterment. When I see this here, it makes me think of a pastor and how important it is for him. I thank God for my pastor. And I'd say he's ours, but I claim him as my pastor. I don't have a problem saying that. If there is one man that I know that actually really takes the time to try to seek things out thoroughly, it's our pastor. That's something we can never take that for granted. We should never take that for granted. There's things that goes on out here that we would probably not hear about if he had not brought it to our light and brought it to us. And I just praise God for what he's doing through our pastor. It's so important. A good watchman is proactive. He's out and doing. And you know, I've got to say, I've failed so much. I feel like there's times that I should have been out, and I keep thinking about this visitation. That's something I want to be a part of. You know, there again, just because things don't maybe go as you think they're going to go, that does not relieve us of our duty. We still have a duty to act. There's different things that, if there's anything that we can be a part of, we need to be a part of it. Because it's our responsibility. The confines that we have in here, what a blessing this is. We should never take this for granted. What we hear, what we know, the blood is going to be required at our hands. Everybody in here, if we want to agree or believe it or not, is a watchman. From the oldest saint to the newest convert, you're a watchman. You know, at the department, we have what they call rookies and veterans. And this here, I was thinking about this as well. It says, go to the young people. Talk to the young people. Go to the youth. Go to the children of thy people. And I was just thinking about how it is in church and how it is at work. When I first started out, man, I wanted to do something so bad I couldn't stand it. I wanted to lose somebody. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've watched cops and see things and you know, see people break the law. And I thought, man, that's neat. I'd like to do that. I have an uncle and a cousin, some family in it, and I want to get in on that. I didn't know what to do. You watch a little bit of TV, you don't understand how much paperwork goes along with that. There's a lot that goes behind that. There's a whole lot that goes on. But you know, it's the people that take you under their wing. There's a group there that said, hey, come here. I want to take care. I want to help you. I want to show you some things. This job can be a good job or it can be a bad job. You make it hard on yourself if you're not careful. You know, as a new person getting into law enforcement, you can go pull over one car and that can keep you busy the rest of the night. If you're not careful and you don't know what you're doing, then you pull everybody else in on it. But then I was thinking about how it is in the church. I remember just watching Preacher Wynn before I surrendered to preach. Man, I wanted to do that. I don't know why, but man, I wanted to do that so bad. There's something inside of me that said, man, that's where it's at. And you talk about something so much more beyond, so far beyond important than police work, and that's preaching. That's where my heart's at tonight. You know, one of the questions that's been asking me, so many times. The last little bit, are you still preaching? Praise God, I'm still preaching. The calling and the gifts of God is without repentance. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how he's got it planned out. But he's got a plan. And we need to be plugged into that plan. There's something so much more, so much bigger out there than what we can imagine. But we've got to be plugged into the right source. Don't fall by the wayside. Just don't fall by the wayside thinking, well, I thought it was going to happen like this. And if it don't happen that way, don't quit. We still got a duty. We still have a duty. A good watchman is not complacent. That's a big one. That's a big thing. You know, I come from the sheriff's department where you have the entire county. You have the entire county. Different things going on. If it happens, it's in your jurisdiction, basically. And there's always something going on. It's always busy. It was always something going on. And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you're going to ASU. That's better. That's good. Amen. I agree with that. I think that's a good thing. But you know, anything can happen anywhere. We need to understand that as a congregation. We can't say, well, it won't happen in our church. That's down the road or something like that. We can't be complacent. Complacency will get you hurt. We need to be vigilant in what we're doing. We don't need to just sit back like I was saying before. You know, we've had a busy time. Well, let's just take it easy. The devil will creep in anytime he can. I've never seen that so prevalent as just the last little bit. I was just thinking about getting out of school. You know, for 3 years I've had a plan. I've had to stay on that plan constantly, consistently. I had to stay on that plan. If I didn't, I'd get behind. And there was no time to not get behind. You couldn't do it. You always had to be reading, always had to be studying. When I got out of school, I was thinking, I can kind of breathe. I'm ready to go back. I tell you, that's the worst thing. And this right here. If you've been a preacher, I think one of the scariest times I've ever had as a preacher is when the phone quit ringing. You know, when the phone's ringing, you've got everything planned out. You know where you're going. You know where you're going. You know what you're going to do. You keep studying. It seems like everything's going. All of a sudden, the phone stops ringing. Lord, what have I done? Lord, what happened? Me and Brother Melvin, we talked about that just the other day. Brother Melvin's a huge blessing to me. Seems like he said to me different things and him not even know it. That's a blessing to me. That's a good watchman. But just different things. But we were talking about that, and he'd been preaching a lot. Well, not so much. Not so much lately. He said, what do you do when the phone don't ring? And he said, pray. Pray. We still have a duty to act. You don't let your guard down. This isn't over. You never know what these times are. Maybe it's a time of just being able to catch your breath. Like I said, that's a good thing. Sometimes we do need to catch our breath and realign and get resituated. I heard Brother Ben Carper, when he preached at our graduation, that's one of the things he said, and I appreciated him saying that. That was an encouragement to me. You can't go 100% all the time. We're human. We're not made that way. But being complacent, just thinking, hey, it won't happen, or just letting your guard down, letting things slip. A good watchman is ready. He's ready to take action at a moment's notice. You know, if you get complacent, you let things slide, and you don't keep up with your studying as a preacher, as a Christian, when the opportunity presents itself, you might not be prepared. I had an opportunity one time to witness to somebody, and I felt like I just was all to pieces. I didn't see it coming. I wasn't expecting it. Wasn't even talking about anything like that. And then just all of a sudden, it just came in. She starts crying. She says, I want to know how to be saved. I want to know I'm saved. And this, it can happen at a moment's notice. If somebody was to, tomorrow at work, or wherever you go during the day, was to say, are you ready? Can you pull it out and show them? Do you have the scripture outline? Do you have a plan? You have a plan. A good watchman is not chosen by default. You know, I was thinking about that and how important that is. You know, sometimes, especially, I guess, maybe if you work with the state or work at with different places, people map out promotions. They kind of say, well, he's been here, she's been here the longest. Well, this is what's going to happen. Well, see, God's work, I don't think God does things that way. I really don't believe it's a seniority issue with the Lord. I don't think it's just by default that you trip and fall into God's work. Either you're in it or you're not. You know, that's one of the things you might be able to stand up and do something when the boss is around and kind of smooth things over or make it give this implying that, hey, I'm doing this, I'm on top of things. Well, let me tell you, when you work for the Lord, He is always there. He's always there. You're not going to slide anything by Him. You're not going to get anything by default. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about working for the Lord. He knows who's going to do things and who isn't. It's us that has to learn that. Again, I think back to Abraham and Isaac, and I think about how when he took his son up there on that hill, I don't think he knew how it was going to happen, but he knew what he had to do, and he had to learn that. I don't know if Abraham knew. I don't know exactly what his frame of mind was. I believe he had faith in God, that God was going to fix it out however. But, you know, he needed that. These different things that we face in our life, we need that. I think about different people in this church, how much they mean to me. And I see the things that they're going through, and I do not have an answer. I don't have an answer for that. I try to pray for them. But God has a purpose for why those things are happening. He has a purpose. You know, I think back to, you know, me and Brandy. I was talking to her today. When everything that was going on with the job and all that kind of stuff, you know, and I tell you, it's humbling to think about it now. Because I said, you know, looking back, that's not as bad as I thought it was right then. There's some people that's going through some hard things. And that pales in comparison. But I don't know why God chooses the things that He does. We read the book of Job. Read all through Job, and it's never answered. Why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to God's people? That question's not answered. But it does tell us who we rely on, who we depend on, who we stay with. It does tell us that. It does tell us that. Here's the last thing here. A good watchman is trained and prepared. He's always looking. Always looking for an opportunity. You know, that's one of the things that, talking about school and all these different things, it is so important that we as a church stay focused on what our goal in life is, what our purpose is. You know, there's different people. I think about different people that have died and gone to hell. Then I think about my opportunity that I have now. I have life. I'm saved. Have the opportunity to witness to people. The opportunity to tell people what the Lord has done for me. We need to be trained and prepared. You know, I was thinking about complacency and things. A lot of times what we do at work even to keep that from happening is we'll get together as a shift. And we'll go out and we'll do things. We'll practice traffic stops. We'll practice building searches. We'll do these things to stay sharp because, you know, that I was thinking about night shift and different things, how long it can be sometimes when the students are gone and different things, how long it can be, and it just seems boring. Is this not ever going to end? You know, you got to be prepared. We have to stay prepared. I was talking to some officers that were present when Officer Mass, Deputy Mass, got shot, and I tell you, that was a humbling thing to listen to. That was a humbling thing to hear because we know these things can happen, but we kind of get an idea, well, it probably won't happen when I'm on duty or different things like that. It won't happen under my watch. None of us here tonight will ever know what we're going to be called to do one day. We don't know that. You just don't we don't know. We don't have that foresight. We don't know. You don't know what you'll face in your life? I don't know. I see different people that start their career and go through different things, and all of a sudden it just seems like their world has been turned upside down. And you know they didn't see it coming. I've dealt with different things, and one of the things that's really humbled me the most working in law enforcement is when we had to go and be a part of death scenes. And I just remember different times looking at those people that had passed away and just looking at them. They're gone. They're gone. There's nothing you can do for them at that point. And just looking down and thinking, you know, that morning when they got up, they didn't know this was going to happen. They didn't know that things were going to be this way. And it's over. We need to make the absolute most of what we're doing, or what we're part of right now. We don't know how much longer we've got. But if you're saved, at least we got the promise of heaven. We got the promise of being with Him. A good watchman is trained and prepared. That's what I have tonight. I know it's kind of probably, you know, short and sweet, and well, maybe not short and sweet. I don't know. I guess that depends on the opinion. But that's what the Lord had put on my heart.